today the Lord has been putting in my heart. I spoke at the pastors' network yesterday. So these are all pastors, you know, evangelists traveling the world. But as I was speaking, the Lord spoke to my heart about women, our women here. I believe the Lord is going to wrap up. You know, one of the rules that the Lord has put in my heart when I started ministry, you know, in deliverance. You know, we talk about this, but it is a deliverance that I'm going to be explaining to you today. Is that one of the things that's important is that they are filled with the Word. You know, it is it's a spiritual malpractice, I believe, for people just going into, you know, signs and wonders. And, you know, that's why a lot of people don't even wait for the sermon. They want to wait for the laying on of hands. But you see that there's a danger there because we are not filling the empty, vacant rooms of your heart with the Word. And it is a spiritual malpractice for anyone who is preaching the Word to just ask the Lord for signs and wonders to prove that they are anointed. We don't have to prove anything. God has already, you know, approved of us. And I believe that all these weeks that we have learned about the Word, you are ready for breakthrough. The Lord spoke that to me on Sunday. They're ready for breakthrough. They have been filled. Those of them who have been hearing and listening and receiving the Word, they are ready for breakthrough. So this morning, we're going to be going into that direction. but I want to just, review a little bit before this, because I'm also waiting where God is going to take us. We call it stalling, you know. I kept telling her, okay, Lord, now I'm talking. Can you please give me now what you want me to say? But we started with a word in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And that concerning the times and the season. You know, I don't have to, these are all in your handouts. You know, we're reviewing. Concerning the times and the season, we are in urgent times, very urgent times. You and I could be that generation that's going to be caught up in the sky. And it can happen anytime. It is not wars and rumors of wars. It is that's the sign that the world is looking for. But you and I, as children of the King, God says, you're going to hear the trumpet sound. You know what it is? It's a hearing ear. In your innermost being, you know the voice of the shepherd. And you learn that in the secret place. Because God really demands intimacy with you. How I bore you on eagle's wings. Every time he stretches his hand, like I said before, he's taking a risk. He can win Satan anytime. He has already won it. But he's taking a risk of rejection from you and me every time he stretches his hands. And he stretches his hands all the time in healing you, embracing you, accepting you, valuing you. And sometimes we don't want it. We want to go to our friends. We want to look at our television. God says, shut the door. I want to infuse into you my acceptance because you are my beloved. You understand? These are things God, you know, our pastor always tells you that God is so, you know, in love with you. And so we do, in the secret place, that's where we are receiving that. So the insecurity of your life and my life can only be received, the answer, in the secret place all the time. That when you walk out of that room, you're going to say with a grin in your face, I have inside information. Right? I mean, you know, you go and you see all this, but you're smiling and says, but I have inside information. So those are the things I believe that we need to understand, because God's saying that you'll hear the trumpet sound. It is your responsibility to hear my voice, because our, you know, relationship with the Lord is through our hearing ear. That's what Jesus always say, those who have ears, let them hear. Because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. For us to be able to have that relationship with the Word, it has to be through our hearing ears. This is not just, you know, a cliche. you have the capability and the radar and the birthright to hear his voice. That's how God created you and me. I mean, if you're not hearing him, it's not because he's not talking. It's because we need to remove all those things that's layer after layer. And as I said, God always deals with sin first. And we need to come before the Lord today as we're moving into this, that we have to remove that sin in our lives. Sometimes, you know, we look, we're too perfect. We dress up really nice. You know, people really look at us. But, you know, there are things in our lives. The Lord tells me, Mila, you know, so he corrects me a lot. Mila, that being arrogant again. I always go through this because this is a stronghold. This was a stronghold in my life, you know. And, you know, especially I have been put into the business world. And, you know, we do a lot of negotiation. And sometimes I get so very confident on how I negotiate, you know. And I'm brutal when I negotiate. And sometimes the Lord says, you were depending on your strength, you know. So when I go to the secret place, the Lord says, you take care of that one. We're not talking until you take care of that one. Because our mountains are waiting to be called. You know, remember we said, you're talking to me? You're talking to me? I have a name. What's my name? You understand? Our mountains have to move. Our arrogance is a spirit of arrogance. It's a religious spirit. It's a spirit of pride and call it. And you're going to command that mountain to move. And I'm telling you, you know, we're waiting for mountains, you know, so people can talk about us. Listen to me. We are moving mountains every time we go to the secret place, all the time. We are moving mountain. And we are one more mountain in our breakthrough. You understand? And I believe that is what's shutting the door. I believe that what secret place is. You know, so we need to have a divine tune-up. I want to let you know that all these weeks I went with you, I was telling Becky, God put me also in the furnace, tuning up my prayer life, you know. Because it's double-edged, you know. You apply the word, the other's blade applies to you. And I believe that there is nothing that you and I can share that we did not go through ourselves. You know, as I shared with you before, the Lord says, I don't want you giving my people a recycled leftover. It has to be something that you just went through today that you're going to share with them. You know. So God is saying to us that we need to go to higher courts. You know, we're done with these lower courts. You know, we learn that, you know, confidence is the word that says there's freedom of speech. Let us come boldly with confidence into the presence of the King. And that word means freedom of speech. And the Lord put that in my heart. While America is fighting for the freedom of speech, well, I'm waiting for them to have a breakthrough in the Supreme Court of the universe. What is happening in our lower courts today is what's happening in the higher courts. Because my people need to show up and demand their freedom of speech. Demand. I have a voice about my nieces and nephews. I have a voice about my neighborhood. I have a voice because God asked me anything that we permit here on earth shall be permitted in heaven. That is the power of prayer, you know. And so the Lord is saying to us that I want you to go to the Supreme Court of the universe, and I don't want you wasting time in crying and wasting time for agonizing and begging me for things. That's my responsibility. I'm going to say that to you because this is very, very important. Those are just things. You know, early in my walk, the Lord told me, I want you to understand what things. I will take care of things, my responsibility as a father to you. Don't insult me by begging me to give you bread when that's my responsibility. To give clothing on your back, food on your table, that's my responsibility. I don't want you wasting time in begging and giving me a song and dance. It's already established in my throne. I paid for that. Yeah, I gave you my son, and with him, will I not give you everything else? And then God told me, I want you to go to the higher court and negotiate for higher things. I'll take care of things, Mila. Those are just things. I want you to be violent for me, for souls. I believe that the revival that's going to come in this church is from women. I mean, don't tell the men that. Can I have a tissue? Here's one. Thank you. I should remind myself to wear, a waterproof mascara. thank you. I believe that the revival that's going to come in the Valley Community Church is going to be coming from intercessors. And women understand the travail of the womb better than anyone else, because we understand the pushing of real birth. I mean, even if you have not had any children, in the womb, there is one of the most powerful organ in your body is the womb. I mean, I've been a delivery room nurse. I'm telling you, can you imagine a pear-shaped organ can expel a 10-pounder? I mean, give that to the men. sometimes when we have delivery, I tell the husband, just stay out of here, please, just stay out of here. And I said, don't you give your hands to your wife when she's pushing, she's going to break it. Because, we give all the strength, you see. But I really believe in my heart. I mean, we know what is our role, now where God has placed us. But there is a revival that's going to come. It's going to be from the women who understand combat boots. It is going to come because we understand what prayer is. We don't need a pulpit. it's not the safest place to be. But anyway, the higher court, God has put this in my heart. I want you to go to a higher stake negotiation. And the Lord has always been faithful to me. Contracts, open doors, financial breakthrough. That's it, those are things. I want you to be violent for me. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes it by force. We are not going to go to hell and say, pretty please, we are taking souls back. Every soul that we miss is one less member of the body of the bride of Jesus Christ. So to the last minute, God says, because the signs of the times are here, we need to know that the trumpet is almost going to be blown. And we don't want any of our nieces, nephews, our family, our neighborhood, people that we know, is going to be the generation that's going to see. This generation is not going to pass until they're going to see all the things that God has said is going to happen. If you and I right now are going through hard times, how much more when the church is no longer here? You will not want that to your enemy to be left behind. So when you pray, I want you to close the door. I love the story that Terry gave us today. It's beautiful, Terry. Thank you. When you pray, close the door. Because I will reward you. I will reward you. And I don't want you playing the tune from the world. I don't want you giving me a song and dance. I don't want you, doing like the prophets of Baal. I want you to come to me as a father. There are three things I need us to learn as in prayer. One is our Father. You know what? Our Father, we can cry, we can pout, he will still look at us and love us. That's okay. I mean, we are his child and we can do that. There are times, Lord, I complain a lot, that's my Father. And the Lord just understands me. That's me. He created me and he's still molding me. But there is also an intercession that we go and knock for bread because our friends need it. And we have a friend. Jesus is that friend. But we have a judge. The one that keeps knocking on the door will demand that we are going to have justice. That's the intercession that God wants you and I to have. This is the audacity of shameless persistence. This is the prayer that Jesus is looking, will I find this kind of faith on the earth? I need witnesses, because 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Satan accuses them before the courts. And because we are not perfect, we have some cracks in our lives. You understand? You said something when you're driving. Sometimes I pray that that's not a Christian sticker at the back of the car. Because when they're driving, you know, I see these fingers. I say, oh, Lord, please don't give them, Lord. Don't let me see a Christian sticker. And I do. This crazy. I said, maybe he borrowed it from the Christian owner or something. I mean, you know, because he's showing his bad finger or something. And, you know, he cuts me off. You know, I'm a slow driver. I always say, hello, I'm taking the slow lane. I don't know why you're complaining. I mean, and, you know, so many times, you know, this Christian, you know, and they're screaming, you know, I hope it was good news that they're talking. And I'm telling you, and then, you know, they have a sticker at the back of their car that they're Christians. I don't know, Lord, please remove that. You know, it's not good witness. You know, but I don't know why I was sharing that with you, but... But the Lord is asking us today that we really need to, you know, understand prayer. As I said, as a father, we go to our friend Jesus, but we go to the judge. This judge is higher stake negotiation. He's talking about our family that's being ripped back to hell. This is our neighborhood that's being desecrated by the demonic force. This is our nation that's being blinded by the enemy. This is the one that Jesus wants you and me to come before the courts and demand that we want our birthright. We did not just have fellowship in his death, his burial, his resurrection, but his ascension. The Bible says that you and I are seated with him, not tomorrow, today, with him. And this is the thing that I want to emphasize to us today, that this is a prayer intercession. I'm telling you, I challenge all of us today. Let him take care of your things. Let Father be Father to you. And let us take care of the business of the courts. So whatsoever things you ask, you will have. And the Lord reminded me, Mila, those are just things. If I pray 2 hours asking God to give me a raise, then I don't know who my Father is. If I was asking God, you know, Lord, where am I going to get a car? We did not have a car. That's amazing. How did we survive without a car? It's so crazy. And the Lord told me, okay, ask me. You know, okay, Lord, we're a tither, we're givers, we're first fruiters, and so we need a car. It is not a luxury, Lord, we need it. You know, my husband, he prays, it's short. He's really right. You know, I said, but... P.S. me, I want, Lord, please, can you make it a station wagon, please? I really need a station wagon because I want to invite people to church. You know, that was that November in the last week of that year, we had a call. It's crazy. So, well, I don't know what happened, but my company just bought me a car. I just bought my wife a new car a few months ago, and I have a new car. So we have now this car sitting in our driveway with 20,000 miles. And he says, do you want it? I said, excuse me, is this a station wagon? I want to be sure that it's the order that I did. So we have that station wagon. But, you know, I learned this in my walk with the Lord. I want you to fall in love with what is important to me. I'll take care of you. I will open ministry for you. I will open doors for you. But I want you to be violent for me. So, I'm going to two more verses, then I'm going to minister to you. The Lord put that in my heart. So you understand that when you come to the court, you follow the court, the language of the court, right? I mean, you know, we already understand you keep crying in the courtroom and the judge will tell you to tell the bailiff to take you out because you're disturbing the court, right? I mean, God understands that. We can cry, you know, go to our Father's lap, yes. But when we are doing intercession, when we're praying for the revival and breakthrough in our churches, in the neighborhood, in this nation, it's a different warfare, you know. And when we go to court, we need to understand that this is life and death, you know. Because the witness will influence the verdict. Uh-huh. Nineveh was influenced by a witness. The curse from generation to generation, God, it was just waiting for a witness to show up in court. Lord, this is enough. You have broken the curse of my home. I'm drawing the line. Divorce, poverty, sickness is going to stop here. Because you said, whatsoever we permit, and you ask us to run this earth. The heavens of heavens is the Lord, but the earth I have given to you. So stop complaining to me what's happening on earth. You're supposed to be in charge of that earth. So when we come and pray, the Lord is saying to us that we need to be sure that we understand the rules of the court. The truth, nothing but the truth. God is saying, don't give me all this news from CNN or Fox News. I already know that. And a lot of those are fake anyway. So I want you to come and speak the language of the court. The truth, nothing but the truth. I don't want you contaminated. I don't want witness tampering. I don't want you talking to somebody. What's their opinion? You go because I've learned before that we go not because of our needs. Guys, very important. Prayer, the confidence of prayer is not because of our need. We are not answered because we have a need. We are answered because the word of God does not return to him void. The Bible says that the word of God brings us to his altar, brings us to his presence. Because if the need is bringing us to his presence, you think, it's an emotional prayer. You know, we are running to the courtroom because we know when we touch that altar, we are going to have what we ask for. We will obtain mercy and grace. Guaranteed. You see? So we have this confidence that when we go there, we go and work by the rules of the court. Because this is where we're going right now, and I'm going to challenge you. You know, we really need to fall in love with the gospel because that's where you and I came from. Jesus told his disciples, when you go preach the gospel, you're going to heal the sick. Everywhere to repent. That's our key to the negotiating table is the cross all the time. So when we go there, Jesus said to us, when you go to the court, you need to understand that the court has already established the answer. He needs earth to come and partner with what is already in heaven. I mean, you know, God wanted has already declared for my dad to be saved, good-looking, rich businessman. I mean, you know, he was doing all his, you know, I mean, women in his life. But when I went to court, I did not ask about what he did. I asked about what Jesus did for him. That's our basis. And Jesus said, he called his 12 disciples and said, he gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. He said, as you go to proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. In other words, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is already established, and there is no stopping it. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Have we raised the dead? You better believe it. Dead in trespasses and sin. cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, and freely you have received, freely give. So I ask you today, what have you received that you cannot give? If we're not healing the sick, we're not casting out demons, then we did not receive it because we cannot give it. And the Lord spoke to me when I was speaking to these pastors. I said this, we have so overdressed our religion with fig leaves. Now, when we came to the Lord, we always say, well, I'm not really that bad. I'm really a gift to the church, you know. So when I became a Christian, you know, I'm a beautiful addition to the membership of the body of Christ. Really? God told me this. I took you from the gutter of hell, from all the demonic, satanic infestation of hell was penetrating every single cell of your body. You look good, tastes good, feels good, but evil comes with it. And as I was speaking, the Lord said, I want you to tell my people that when you and I came to the Lord, well, you know what, we did not foam in the mouth, we did not have any seizure, but you better believe it. God delivered you from demonic stronghold in your life. I mean, really. I mean, so God, this is what God says. So how come you cannot give what I gave you? So you and I should not be afraid to cast out demons. I mean, you know what? Forget about those people who uses God's people as a prop to show them that they are so anointed. I oppose, you know, this exhibition that some of the churches are doing to God's people. That is a child of the King. We do not have any business to ruin the reputation by allowing them to crawl on, and foam at the mouth. I have those experiences when I pray. I close the door. And I do not give the enemy any right to use God's people, the inheritor of his salvation, as a prop to show them that they have an anointing. But you see, let me tell you something. The Lord really showed me, I was speaking. I said, this is what I'm going to tell you today. Today, you need to ask yourself, what did you receive? God delivered you, you know, and I understand this into a medical standpoint because, as I said before, as an infection control nurse, you know, I do tracing, you know, when there is an exposure, so we know who's visited the room, the neighbor, you know, like this, you know, when especially with the AIDS came before, we just, you know, we made a tracing. That is just what infection control does. And the Lord says, you believe that they have been contaminated, everyone that came into that room, to that patient who was contaminated, but you don't believe that when you have been exposed to the power of hell, that you have not been contaminated, that I did not remove every bacteria, every virus, every stronghold, every demonic, satanic memory of your life, that I delivered you when you got saved. That's why I can say freely you have received, you freely give. So if you have not yet seen that as receiving, today is the day that God is going to clarify to you all the cancer of the past, all the demonic, satanic assignments against marriages of the past, all the poverty and all the bankruptcy of the past. God is saying to you, I have delivered you. So today you can be bold to give what you have received. This is drawing the line. This is drawing the line, Father. We're no longer going to go back to the past. My nieces and nephews, my sons and my daughters are going to walk, in the freedom of the Lord. So today we're going to pray that. You are intercessors. Because if we don't see that, then we cannot give it. We really have been, you know, sometimes we say that, oh, he was really a bad. And that's why we're looking at people who have a very bad testimony to speak. So the people can be impressed. If you can, if God can give you a color, multicolor picture of my life, I mean, really, we need to, how God has freed us from the sin. Our religious sin is the biggest sin. The pride is the biggest pride that caused Satan to be kicked out of God's presence. Excuse me.
want us to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22 to 24. I want you to see a vision, how important your intercession is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. You have this already too. Excuse me. Is this hot? Thank you. It's so hot. I'm gonna put them. God is doing something right now. Thank you. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion. This is the higher court I'm talking about. This is the supreme court of the universe. This is a court that we have to go to the final place of appeal. When you go to this court, when you leave that place, the verdict is telling you, you won. So if you don't, then why pray? This is important that we see this like this. You have come to Mount Zion. I mean, you know, yeah, we want to travel the world, but God says, come to Mount Zion. Not after you died, now. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Can you imagine this? And when you pray, that is where you're going. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who's registered in heaven. Listen, every time we pray, it is a big extravaganza. I am telling you. The Lord is showing us, whoa, you go in the spiritual realm, you bypass the air. Oh my goodness, you pull down the stronghold of gravitational pull of the earth. You break sound barrier and you go to Mount Zion. I mean, the Lord really told it to me. I want you to be excited. Those of you right now who's not really as excited about prayer, God says, I want you to give you a picture. This is really where you're going. Innumerable company of angels. And then it says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, the God, judge of all, the spirit of the just man made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Guys, can you imagine going to court? Hallelujah. You have a mediator, Jesus Christ. You have the executor of your inheritance, the Holy Spirit. You have a witness, the blood of Jesus Christ, that speak on your behalf 24/7. And you have innumerable company of angels. And the judge that's sitting there is your Father. So what's your problem about prayer? I am telling you, the most important event for the day is that. So when you go to court and when you go to the world and you see all these multimillionaires, you know, people who think that they have, you sit down there and I say, if they only know who's sitting here with them. That is crazy, right? When you go to the negotiating table and I sit down there and I said, if they only know who's sitting here. That's awesome, isn't it? That's the confidence that God gives you. And so this is where God is asking us. So I want you to understand, what have you received? We're going to draw the line today. Freely you have received, freely give. We need to go back to the time that God saved us. It was really an extravaganza. You have to remember, we serve a master who gave us a job description, and we really did it well. Hello? I mean, we're good gossiper, good judgment, you know, judges people. You know, I have two-tier justice growing up. You know, I have an aunt. Oh, it's tape, huh? Anyway, I have an aunt, you know, it's a very, well, my aunts are all very elegant, you know, my dad, you know, make sure that when we want to have some, you know, social graces, we go to our aunts. So our aunts, you know, they have a door for the poor and a door for the rich. They have different food for the, you know, for the family and different food for the servants. And, you know, everything is just different, you know. So it's almost like there is a double standard, you know. We have a, oh, yeah, you're my friend. Yes, hi, you know, but there's always hi. You know, there are people. So, you know, when I came to the Lord, the thing broke, you see. But those are the things that the enemy has infiltrated us with, you see. The arrogance and the pride, the religious spirit, you know, that comes in our lives. And I am telling you, if you and I can see how they look, they're the ugliest thing ever that is hovering over your life. And God is so gracious that he did not have to expose that for the naked eye. But we have received deliverance from him, so we can give it freely. So we are going to really embrace our salvation. And it makes you and me bold. I'm no longer going to be going through the hardship of finances. I'm no longer going through the hardship of marriages for my family. I'm no longer going to go through the gangs and all the rebellion of this generation. That's done. I am drawing the line. Because freely I have received, freely I give. So I can't believe that my nephews who went through gangs and drugs, hallelujah, it doesn't matter what stronghold of hell is, because I have received the deliverance from the stronghold of hell, and I am freely giving it to them. You understand? This is so important. So today, we're going to draw the line. Amen? You are the generation that is going to say it stops here. I have received deliverance. I'm going to say this. Pornography has to be removed from every household. Every sin has to be dealt with before you can be blessed. Very important. Any magazine, anything in your home that is not, that cannot be blessed, you need to remove that. You know, I used to volunteer to clean houses, and I always go through the jugular vein. I'm telling you, they have very expensive, you know, china, whatever. You know, I went to this business lawyer's office, and I said, you want me to clean up, right? And I do it for free. I make dinner after. And I said, oh, I clean your house already so we can clean your office. We went to his office and all of this big, you know, expensive, went to the trash, and he looked at me like, I'm cleaning up. I'm telling you, trust me, I'm cleaning up. So, you know, so we go there and, you know, magazines, not good, throw it away. And he said, no, I want to clean your closet too. But when we want freedom from the Lord, then we need to be serious about the altar that we go to. It is a transformation altar. It's not a negotiating table. The negotiation has already been done on the cross. You know that? The altar is a place for you and I to be sanctified fully. So today, we're going to receive. You have received it already. You just did not see it in the full picture of the color of the Holy Spirit, right? Pornography, lying, gossiping, guys, judgmental attitude got to be removed. I mean, we're not perfect. We're in the process. But when the Lord speaks that to us, we have the power to repent. Amen? Because the cross is our entrance to this freedom. Because Valley Community Church is going to see a revival from women who have a womb that is cleansed by the Holy Spirit to birth and negotiate higher stake negotiation. Can we just stand up? I want to pray for you.